Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Hey, that's me. Thank you, Dude Walker, and welcome to the Thanksgiving Wednesday edition of the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's Rob Spiewak sitting here with you, and you are going to love today's show. I picked out all the segments myself, and I'll be listening with you. Yes, I'll be here serving as your genial host as we prepare for Turkey Day tomorrow. We have, we have a nostalgia corner today. Oscar gets an impression lesson. Of course, we will look at the news. We will do an audio vault. But let us start with my daughter, Julia. This is, she was still in college. She hadn't graduated yet. But she is my girl. I love her so bad. And we get to the bottom of her college education. And please know, spoiler alert, she graduated with a 4.0. So yeah, she did keep it up. Then, the best Thanksgiving tape of all time. And I won't spoil it and tell you what it is, but I will say this. I went deep into the Rob Spiewak archives and found an extended version of it, and it is great. Then we will talk about Mike versus Keto and urgency. And speaking of urgency, let's not waste any time. Here comes the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Can we bring your daughter in now? Julian, who's
going
to stop by?
Would you like me to switch so you can see her?
Sure. All right. I'd love to see how she's doing. It's wonderful to have the progeny.
I can't believe she got up this early in the morning to come in. I got a very a straight-faced emoji when I sent her a note. I said, we're leaving at 7:30.
And there is your beautiful, beautiful daughter. It is so nice to see you, Julia. How are you?
I'm good. You guys interrupted my knitting, but it's okay.
Are you really knitting? Something?
I was crocheting earlier. I was making a hat, but then I ran out of yarn. So now I'm moving back on to knitting.
It's constant creativity from you.
But be fair, this is for class though, right?
Yeah, my knitting is for a class. My crocheting is for passion.
Oh, really? So knitting you're in a graphic design program at VCU, correct?
Yeah, it's a long story.
For all the tuition payers out there, I'm kind of curious, what's she going to undergrad for? Knitting. Yeah. What?
I make art with yarn now.
So that is your medium? Is that your medium that you're working in?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yarn?
For the most part, sometimes fabric.
Well, you've really done, but also you're still at a point where they're making you do everything, right?
Yeah, I did. I think my least favorite thing was spinning my own wool to make my own yarn. I could not get that
sustainability.
I kept thinking about when the wool's already spun and knitted, I don't mind it. But then thinking about it in the big pile and making it myself, I feel closer to the animal. I don't really like that.
The sheep?
The sheep. The animal.
Let me ask you about this.
Yes.
So you are, this is what I know, and then you can correct me on everything I've got wrong. So I think of you as early, and you've been doing this for a long time, as very artistic, and you're in, I remember you doing graphic design. Now it sounds to me like you've made, and my daughter's made a few pivots from what she started working in and where she is working now. Are you leaning more towards just becoming an artist as opposed to working in graphic design where you're going to have, your medium? Because that sounds to me like something I would see in an art gallery working with different mediums. Is that accurate or is that inaccurate?
That is actually a good question because I'm figuring that out myself. I'm a graphic design major with a crafts minor and I'm looking to do glass blowing next semester. Our graphic design program is so open to where if you can justify it, you can work with just about everything. I know my friend last semester did this really cool carving out of a wood block and then was able to make all these super old timey looking prints. And that was her final thesis. And everybody's doing all these crazy things. And basically, if you can justify it, you can do it.
So, she built a swing.
Yeah, I built a swing set.
Designed it and built the whole thing. She made a dress out of Beanie Babies, which was pretty cool. I mean, she's gone in every direction. And I do love the fact that the program, at least has her dip her toe in every sort of medium.
So could she, could you, Julia, could you make the pivot if you got out of school? Could you see yourself making the pivot to do just about whatever struck your fancy in the art world? Or do you still, are you thinking about, working in the business community and advertising and stuff like that? What where do you see yourself going?
I'm kind of past that. I work at a print shop right now, and I think the most exciting thing for me right now, just because I'm so into all the different mediums, is having people who are like unfamiliar with the department coming in and asking, or like giving me their idea and me being able to like advise them and be like, oh, well, you could do this or this or this with it, and like giving them all the options. So I think I'm like, I like more of the production side of things for graphic design. I don't really like sitting in front of my computer much anymore, especially after doing that all last
year.
Sounds
like you want to create art. You want to you want to be hands-on and do stuff
some
like
of your
that.
Printing activity, those are like classic old printing technologies too, right? They would have existed the same 100 years ago as they do now. So I love the fact that it's a real physical medium. And like she said, because of COVID, she spent 18 months doing stuff virtually on a computer, which is a great skill to have. But it is so nice to see her actually create. I love to watch her knit.
Well, she's been doing that forever. I mean, she's been doing that for a very, very long time. And that sounds cool. And it sounds like you're able to, in this program, expand your horizons and go in a direction that's inspired. And that's not bad, because it's all under that same umbrella. You're creating, right? Mm-hmm. That's really, and you still like the program. You're enjoying yourself down there.
Love the program, but who knows what I'll be doing next year? Who knows?
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
And especially she has a three-legged area cat.
Oh yeah, I have two cats named Ozzy and Gnocchi, and Gnocchi has three legs, which is a new development.
Like he had to have one removed.
A cat that good, Mike, you don't eat all at once.
Okay, we're just gonna fry this up right at you. That's
what
so
happened?
Nasty.
She had her toe got really big out of nowhere, and we were like, "Oh, her toe's big. This is so funny." Yeah. And then we took her to the doctor.
Same thing that happened to your dad, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, actually.
Diabetes.
This is my cat, type B.
Oh.
No idea what actually happened with her, but she's
come here, A1C. A1C. All right, before we let you go, I want to ask you about this. As far as Rob, feel free. This is your family.
Okay.
Shut me down if you wish to.
All right.
Some advice for the frat boy, your brother who is, who is now, we discussed him briefly
yesterday.
Yeah. He's probably still asleep as we tape this program.
Bet your ass he is.
You bet your ass he is. We want to make sure that he does well. He's pledging this fraternity. Seems to be his big thing. What advice would you give your brother at this particular juncture as he navigates his way through the college situation?
Because you've been a great college student. You really have.
You
really kind of hit the ground running. I remember that. You kind of hit the ground running. And, Rob was talking about how he made it through the first, semester by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, we'll see. It's the finals. We still have to do that. But I'm sure we'll be fine.
Oh, he's got finals?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. I'll stay out of it for the most part. But I think my only advice for him right now is to take his car to get a state inspection that's 4 months overdue so I don't have to keep driving him to see all his stupid brothers.
I agree with Julia, Rob. I agree.
I'm with you.
It's so embarrassing. It's embarrassing for him too. So maybe if he could just do that.
The reason that he hasn't gotten this done is just what?
Every time I'm in town, my mom says, "Well, can you go drop Robert's car off?" I'm like, "No,
because it's Robert's car.
It's Robert's car. Yeah. I'm not doing that."
Yeah,
right.
So,
all right. Tough
one could argue that the reason it's not done is because of me, but I see it otherwise.
I think it might happen in the next day or so.
Who knows?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
We'll see. We'll see.
Julia, is there anybody you want to say hi to out there that might be in podcast land, or are you just happy to be here? I don't know.
Say hi to him. Go ahead. You can play it for him.
Who?
Henry.
Oh no, he wouldn't listen to this.
I'll make him listen.
I'm keeping my boyfriend out of this.
Okay.
I say hi to Shaysho and Grandpa Bob.
Oh, that's very, very nice.
And Kathy.
And you like Henry a lot? Is Henry the one?
Yeah.
Henry?
Oh, we got that. That's enough. I'll take that.
Henry
will
actually be coming to our house for Thanksgiving.
Oh, is this the first? You've met Henry, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I like Henry a lot. Very much so. Yeah.
Very good. I like that name, Henry. Yeah. It's a good name. George Carlin would like that name. Henry. Henry.
He was here
anybody
a minute
ago. Does anybody ever call him Hank?
Nope. Only my dad.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
What a jerk.
There you go. Your dad and I think a lot alike. We have to take a break. Love you, Julia. Thank you so much for coming in. And we will take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Michael Myers Show.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you helped Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
There used to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, now, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
Which wife are we on?
On various Thanksgivings.
In fact, that was one of the things we really fought about.
What?
Did you? I wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
You mean you used to argue about what you're going to stuff the turkey with?
Yes.
And that was one of the problems.
She's still stuffing the turkey, but not with money.
Well, it's nice to know you have no bitterness.
Well, I always used to say, you can have turkey and all that. I don't like turkey that much.
Yeah.
I said, I love lasagna. She calls up every year at Thanksgiving and says, are you having your lasagna?
They don't forget, do they?
No.
You know, in the Midwest, it's seriously enough, and when you grow up out there, some of the kids would have to get a pet turkey. And at the end of the year, you get attached and you can't go out.
A pet turkey?
A pet. But kids would get him, you know. Now you got to go out there and kill him. I couldn't do that.
They deserve it.
What?
They deserve it. Anything that ugly should die. As you can see, I'm not too crazy about Thanksgiving.
You don't go out. No, you really aren't, are you? You're not going to celebrate.
I suppose you'll be home with the family having turkey. Just a typical American family.
That's right. You'll be out there writing the checks. Yes. Sending them for the stuffing, huh?
You will have written yours the day before.
That's right. Mine's already in the mails.
And Ed went to deliver his personally.
Yeah. But what does he know? Tie askew and nose aglow. Okay. Well, I don't know about you. We're having an awful lot of fun up here, folks. Look, if you want to, if you really feel badly now, I feel so terrible that you're going to be alone. Would you like?
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You can come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving dinner? What am I going to say? No. You know what I say? I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I love it.
Can you come?
No.
We really don't have room anyway, to tell you the truth.
I'll be in the neighborhood.
I just did it because you made me feel so guilty.
That's good. I'm glad.
Can you give me whatever you're taking tonight? You want to give me a hit on that, whatever it is?
I can't give you any, but I'll sell you some.
This has been a color presentation of the NBC Television Network.
All right, so a couple of things I wanted to get to here, just briefly, that a buddy of mine told me that when you go on keto, he actually went off the keto diet because it creates a bit of urgency at the wrong time.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell him that, yeah, I think that there is an adjustment period digestively that one has to go to. And the reason I mention this, and I am now in a zone where my digestive functions kick in only at the worst possible time. Only when, you
exclusively.
Know, when it's the worst. Exclusively. At the brown zone comes at the wrong time. What is the wrong time? Well, maybe it would be clearer for you if I gave you the right time.
Yeah. Okay. What would be in the perfect world? What would brown do for you?
Brown in the perfect world would be,
would be
early a.m.
Sure.
Early a.m.
Like maybe first thing out of bed.
Like that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a complete, total
even
evacuation.
Even during the holidays, there's a lot of packages then.
Well, you know what? It just, if it was evacuating first thing in the morning, with that sound, if that sound went off, it's like, clear the decks, clear that. You know when it's not? When it's not is when we've gathered up the youngster, we've popped him into the vehicle, and we've gone out to the big box store.
Yep.
I am not an aficionado of using a public facility. You know what a public facility represents to me to a certain extent? Lack of control. That if you had the control, you would have planned it and you would have gone it. Now, if you want to drop a winky tank that, you know, you've been drinking water all day, that's a whole different thing.
But
I was in Giant. It was a nightmare. Still haunts me.
I'm a big fan of Costco, as you know, but I'm not a fan of their bathroom facilities.
No. Well, any
bet
store.
They go bulk.
Yeah.
Any store. You know, I was in, this occurred to me when Mrs. O'Mara on Saturday or Sunday, don't know which day it was, wanted to do a little Christmas shopping at our high-end department store, Marshall's. And she wanted to go out to Marshall's, and we're in Marshall's, and I said, we're driving. It's about 20 minutes to this shopping center, and we are about 15 minutes in. And I said to Carla, I said to her, this is a true story.
Yes.
You need to turn the car around now.
Abandon ship.
And then it's just like
AR said, turn the car
then
around.
My colon would best be described as going,
and then
it receded, and then it receded, and by the time we got to Marshall's parking lot, it was back going. As we walk into the Marshall's, and I say, I have to use the facilities. Does it matter?
I don't know.
I don't
if
care
I can go
about
to Marshall's
my fear
or TJ Maxx.
And I go and I walk to one side where the dressing rooms were, which is normally where you would put the restrooms. And that's when the lady says, no, the restrooms are over there. She points to the entire the other end of the box where they have their picked over shoes.
Quick question. Did she give you a number? Usually got to get a number.
Yeah, no, not to go. That's for the dressing room. These were the restrooms.
And thank God, Mike, you didn't do what most Marshall patrons do is just use the dressing room.
Give me eight. I'm gonna leave eight.
So many
pins on the floor.
I book it across the floor at Marshall's, and as I book across, I get there. I walk in. You know, it's got that warehousey kind of like dirty door area for the women.
Beat up.
I go in, and two staller. First stall says out of order.
Oh no.
Second stall handicapped. I look underneath. They're the dancing old man feet.
Oh.
Where some 85-year-old is there, and I sit there and say, all right, control, self-control, just wait.
Right.
It looked to me that the feet were moving because business may have been completed.
Oh, but not in a sexual manner like we've seen in airports.
No,
knees weren't locked like in Dumb and Dumber.
No, and then I hear this. I hear this. It's like you hear the water run, and then you hear.
Tearing of paper.
Tearing off paper towels.
What?
Not one, not two, not three, five paper towels. Oh. I said, "What in the what kind is Jack Nicholson from As Good as It Gets in the other stall?"
Over right.
There? What is going on? Why? And then I found out why. Because then I I'm so phobic of other people that I'm not going to stand there and be staring at him. I turn. I walk over to the urinal and pretend like I'm peeing. All I'm really doing is waiting
done that
to
before.
Use that stall.
That's like when you're at a casino and you're shadowing somebody waiting for to jump on the machine.
It, right?
Yeah. You're like, I don't want them to know that I need to go on that machine.
So you're pretending to pee in the casino?
No, but you lurk like you're playing at a machine waiting for them to go.
I understand.
And he leaves, and I walk in, and it's one of those.
Was he older? Was he shuffling?
Didn't see because I had my back to him completely.
Okay, all right.
And when I walk in, it's one of those handicap stalls that has its own sink. You know the type of the super big one, right?
Luxury.
And pristine. I guess the 5 paper towels may have been him doing whatever he had to, but the place was sparkling.
Stuffing.
And I relaxed, and then after I concluded, I just bounced out of the men's room.
Lighter than air?
Like, oh, I watched it. I was like, hello, Carla. What are we doing today? What are we? La, 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 la.
I have my answer. You know,
I'm walking on air. What a wonderful time. Little Michael, would you like to race Daddy down the aisle? But, you know, the warning is there for this new little program.
How long is this recalibration period?
Don't know.
Oh.
Got no idea.
And also, was there ever a period where there was no urgency whatsoever? Because when you go on a protein-rich diet, sometimes it puts the brake on the system.
Yeah. I'm going in between now. It's just not. Yeah. I can't set my clock to anything right now. And I'm using a little enhancement, too. I use a little of the old powder at night, you know, to get the plumbing going a little bit.
And
the
orange flavored?
Okay. Nope. No, not at all. All right. Clear. Yeah.
How does the Diet Coke fit into keto?
No carbs and diet. Coke,
oh,
so.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Right now,
it's just the chemicals.
It's chemicals.
It's just chemicals. That's all
but
it
I'll
is.
But I'll be honest with you. I could be feeling a little urgency right now.
All right.
So just something for all you to know. And, and you can throw up your mouth if you're eating something. Thank you very much. We'll take a break and come back. How about nostalgia corner?
I'd love it.
Could you have time to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we get it all in?
You bet,
right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be one of your 40-minute jobs, is it?
45.
All right, we'll take a break and have Rob right here, right now. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's me. It's ROBB. And this next segment features Nostalgia Corner. After we have sort of a discussion, I'll say discussion, about the direction that the bit should go. Mike was displeased with this choice at the beginning, but by the time it was over, I think I won him over. And Oscar, just making trouble. The movie, Sunset Boulevard. The segment, Nostalgia Corner. The program, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Why don't you do a nostalgia corner about Caddyshack?
Yes.
Or Animal House.
Something that has mass appeal.
Or something about Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something. Why do you have to go back to the Marx Brothers and Gloria Swanson and people that are not only warm, they're long since been warm food. It's all dust now. Their skeletons are dust.
Well, the beautiful thing about the nostalgia corner is that there are no limits. And my interest.
We're setting limits on it.
Okay, Oscar, shut the f up.
Yes. Passion.
Jesus.
That's right, though. We're giving you parameters.
Yeah, but the thing about it is
don't
that
color
who
outside
likes,
the lines.
Who gives you positive feedback on Nostalgia Corner?
Yeah.
When you do one like the Marx Brothers or because I read them. I read there's some nice comments online.
I don't pay attention
to the comments.
Jack.
I don't pay attention to movie magazines because they're all junk.
Nothing jumps out really, but I'll say this. My interests are varied. Incredibly. I mean, I like modern stuff. I do. But I do also like older stuff. So I can do newer stuff, too, and it's just as entertaining for me. Don't talk!
Newer stuff.
Don't. No. This is between me and Mike right now, and you are like nails on a chalkboard.
Too?
Okay, go ahead. This is going to be good. It'll be worth it. Go ahead.
What is nostalgia to you? Like, what are we talking about? 70 years? 100 years? What
nostalgia is me thinking back to the great times before I knew you.
I'm down for that. That's what, 2004?
No, I would say nostalgia.
Let's bring those back.
No, I would say nostalgia would be defined by me as bringing back something that doesn't exist anymore in a fond
How long
memory.
Will your nostalgia corner
Today's
last?
Probably 8 or 9, 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Let's
tops.
Do it. Right now.
Right now?
Let's do it right now.
All right,
yes,
can you
go
make it
for
5?
It. I can if you want.
No, this is fine. This is I'm ready for it right now.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
After
it's
giving
one of the greatest
him...
movies ever made.
After, and I've seen the movie, and it is a good movie. After giving him that hard time, ladies and gentlemen, I now present Rob Spiewak, and I'll give you one Sunset Boulevard for one relatively modern history comedy.
All right. You know what? I know what I'll do. I will do next week. I will do the Blues Brothers because it's one of our favorite movies.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
No. No. Because the Blues Brothers is not that good a movie.
Hack.
It was a trendy movie. I'm talking about great classic comedies. All right.
All right.
Something About Mary, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. It is. Caddyshack.
Animal
is.
House.
I think Caddyshack.
Arthur.
Caddyshack has probably got the best backstory.
The Replacements.
Right. So, the one with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman.
Very good. Blues Brothers. Right. Immediately goes with his narrow little world.
One of the greatest musicals ever made.
It was not. The Blues Brothers.
The music in the Blues Brothers, are you kidding?
Oh, come on. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, all right. But anywho.
This is going to land well, I feel.
All right, go ahead. Okay. I'm ready for
First, the thing you need to know about before we talk about Sunset Boulevard, which came out in 1950, it's an example of a genre called film noir. Film noir sort of was birthed in the early 40s, and it had certain characteristics. The easiest way to think about it is a hard-boiled, like, detective movie, like a Maltese Falcon.
Very lit with lots of shadows.
Exactly, exactly.
And things like that.
And the thematics of film noir are predestination, like persons in the movie you already know at the beginning.
Is this music from Sunset Boulevard?
This is the overture from Sunset Boulevard, yeah.
Okay. Like Avengers. You already know the characters in the Avengers.
In a way.
Yes.
Yeah, you understand that. There's always a femme fatale, some evil woman that is going to have to do with the undoing of the man. There's also a lot of mirrors and reflections showing the dual sides of man. And that's not only done with mirrors,
but
with
Two-Face and Batman.
Like with water. Do you never notice in an old movie the streets are always wet? Like at night?
Yeah, that makes the streets look better on the camera, right?
Well, what it does is also shows reflections of light, which is another theme of film noir, and also just plain evil people. Now, when the movie Sunset Boulevard starts, it's not a spoiler alert, the lead character is floating dead in a swimming pool. So you already know at the beginning of the movie that he's going to meet a bad ending,
like
right?
Phil Hartman. Sadly enough.
Well, a little bit. More like Mrs. Shatner.
Gotcha.
I don't know that Phil Hartman had a pool involved.
Hmm.
But anyhow, he starts with the voiceover. So he narrates the movie
about his
own death. And he tells a story about he's a failed screenwriter who has to try to keep his car because they're going to repossess his car. So he is actually out trying to sell a script. The repossession men, the repo guys, see him and chase him. So he pulls off the road on Sunset Boulevard into what he thinks is an abandoned house.
Ooh.
And he hides the car. And that way, he'll get to keep it, right?
Unrealistic already because that's pricey property. Why would there be an abandoned house on that boulevard?
Well, the house looks abandoned. And this is also, remember, 1950. Hollywood was sort of going through a transition.
Got it.
You see?
I get it.
And so he pulls in there and he's immediately mistaken as an undertaker. Because this crazy old lady wants to bury a chimp. She's got a dead monkey.
Oh.
And she brings him
a monkey.
And this is, you see, and there are elements of dark comedy here because it's funny. You know, she's talking about the funeral for the monkey and the color that she wants for the coffin and all of this stuff. So he comes in and he finally reveals to her, he says, I'm not an undertaker. I'm a screenwriter. And then he recognizes the crazy lady.
Wait a minute. Haven't I seen you before? I know your face.
Get out, or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
Uh-huh. I knew there was something wrong.
They're dead. They're finished. There was a time in this business when they had the eyes of the whole wide world. But that wasn't good enough for them. Oh, no. They had to have the ears of the world, too. So they opened their big mouths, and out came talk. Talk, talk!
That's where the popcorn business comes in. You buy yourself a bag and plug up your ears.
The thing about it is the overacting that you hear there actually works in this motion picture because she's nuts. And the whole movie is her unraveling and thinking she's going to make her big Hollywood comeback. She hires him to work on a script that she's working on.
Is she mad that she used to be a silent film star and now that there's...
Talkies.
Audio?
Yeah. That's what makes her mad.
That's so weird.
And so another neat thing, this is a movie of Hollywood looking at itself. It's one of the first movies to actually do...
Was she a mute? And she couldn't talk?
No, she could talk, but there was a time about 1927 when a lot of Hollywood stars just sort of went away because they couldn't act and talk. They weren't. That's not how they were trained.
What about going from black and white to color? Did that affect Hollywood that way?
Not as much, but this movie was purposely shot in black and white, although Paramount wanted to do it in color to make it a bigger movie.
What about 1080 to 4K?
I don't know that that affected Hollywood as much
someone's pockmarks.
As television, right?
Yeah,
it's more of a television
yeah.
thing. So this is Hollywood looking at itself. There are people in here that actually play themselves that are Hollywood greats. Hedda Hopper, the most important advice columnist. Hopper, the most important gossip columnist of the time. Even Cecil B. DeMille plays himself in this movie. So she goes on and on. And what happens is she hires William Holden. And Mike, you'll remember William Holden from Network. He's great in that movie as well, but he's young in this movie, and he also people might remember.
He was also in the Bridge on the River Kwai,
and Stalag 17, and he had a great role on I Love Lucy playing himself. He's a very funny guy, and he's good in this movie. She hires him to be like a script doctor,
and he's a young buck at this point.
Oh, definitely a leading man type. But what he doesn't
like Ryan Reynolds leading
real noted alcoholic and heavy smoker too.
Oh, and also there was a Hollywood motto back then was a call Bill Holden for hookers. He was also quite a
He knew how to do that.
Yeah, he was quite the Lothario. But she was seduced.
What's a Lothario? What's the dictionary definition?
I think it's a type of watch.
No, it's a lover, sort of a guy who could get things done.
Oh, like Pete Davidson.
Well, I mean, about them. Well, why would you a lover and get a guy is not a guy that would go out and get hookers?
Well, he was connected in that way. I think he was noted as a perhaps Lothario was misused. I withdraw.
Well,
the
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
All right,
keep going.
So there was a lot of action between the two of them as he's rewriting the script. He's really using her for money. He's getting paid to rewrite her script, but she's falling in love with him.
Oh.
And there's like date nights, and it's very creepy and very, it makes you very uneasy. And every night, they actually watch a movie, a silent movie, in her living room, which is another chance to hear her do this great overacting.
Still wonderful, isn't it? And no dialogue. We didn't need dialogue. We had faces. There just aren't any faces like that anymore. Maybe one, Garbo. Those idiots.
She's talking about herself.
Yes.
Those imbeciles. Haven't they got any eyes? Have they forgotten what a star looks like? I'll show them. I'll be up there again, so help me.
Now, as you know, the dating doesn't go
Lothario
well.
Lothario is a man who behaves selfishly and irresponsibly in his sexual relationships with women.
Mm.
So I guess it could be part of it.
Yeah, it could be used. Yeah, absolutely.
Also known as a Smith.
So I like to think of this as the ultimate Hollywood film because it celebrates Hollywood while simultaneously showing how it destroys itself because of her vanity and all of this stuff. It hung around. It was nominated for 11 Academy Awards. It ended up winning 4. It is very highly rated. The Library of Congress has preserved it. The thing about it is that it has remained sort of in the national consciousness as recently, and let me get the date right, in 1993, they did a Broadway adaptation of it in London with Glenn Close playing Norma Desmond, and it ran for 190.
Perfect casting for the modern Nora Desmond.
I think it ran for like 193 performances. It was a hit.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great film. It leaves you feeling unsettled. It leaves you feeling uneasy. If you're a person who loves classic movies, it has a modern feeling while showing old Hollywood. And Oscar, you actually toured Paramount Studios, right?
Yes.
Great behind-the-scenes stuff at Paramount where you see the gate and the motion picture studios. And as I said, Cecil B. DeMille, one of the great directors of all time, he did the Ten Commandments, plays himself. But the ending of the movie is killer. And it is
creepy. This is Sunset Boulevard that Rob is talking about.
So
you got to go back to that occasionally and say, we're talking about Sunset Boulevard. Because you're assuming everybody knows what you know, but they don't.
Okay.
So got to remind people, here's a movie you need to watch. And I can back Rob up on this. This is an entertaining film. It's an entertaining black and white movie.
1950 is when it was made. And this last
9 years before I was born. I'm 62.
This is like the modern. I mean, this is an earlier version of Boogie Nights when they went from film to videotape.
You know, actually, that is the first valid thing you've said during the entire conversation.
No, it's not. You're lying.
But the ending where, and you already know that Joe Gillis is dead. I'll spare you how she died.
Who's Joe Gillis?
The guy, the lead character that was in the pool. Remember, the movie opens.
No,
with
that part I don't remember. Okay. I just remember that it's William
like,
Holden.
It's like
and,
CSI. You see the crime before, and then they show
it's
us.
It's William
how
Holden and
Gloria Swanson. So William Holden is the one who's found dead in the pool in the first scene of the movie.
Is CSI film noir?
No. There are aspects of it you could say, but not really.
Okay. Is Gloria Swanson older than Greta Garbo?
Yes, but she's not that old in this movie. I think she was only like 50 in this movie, which is weird.
Is this normal? I get Gloria Swanson and Greta Garbo confused.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay. 100%. Right, that's good. Very common. Right. So at the end.
What about Hunt's and Heinz ketchup?
The only way to get.
What Rob and I, a lot of people don't realize, Rob and I just took a really brief rest, but it's actually right after the layoff, and Rob and I went over to Munich where we had a wonderful show. We were known as the comedy team of Hunts and Heinz.
And it was great. All the music and beer
We
halls.
Did all the stuff we normally did, you know. We did but we did it with those accents, too, you know. What a great day it is, Hunts.
I want to ask you, Heinz, what if Charlie was running the tank?
It would be a disaster.
Good night.
It would be a total disaster, Hans.
Good night.
Auf Wiedersehen. Good night.
So the final scene, the lead character, Norma Desmond, is played by Gloria Swanson, has totally lost her mind. The only way to get her to leave her house is
she's a little scary. There's a horror element to this old, like 1920s mansion she lives in, and it's dark, and it's shadowy, and it's scary.
There's a famous film writer named Richard Corliss who described Sunset Boulevard as the ultimate Hollywood horror film.
Yes.
Because it really is. There are horrific things. So the only way they can get her to leave the house, press corps is there because there's been a horrible murder.
To tell her that something special is happening for her, right?
That she's going to shoot her last close-up. They have to let her think she's making a movie.
Mr. DeMille, do you mind if I say a few words? Thank you. I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio making a picture again. You don't know how much I've missed all of you. And I promise you I'll never desert you again. Because after Salome, we'll make another picture and another picture. You see, this is my life. It always will be. There's nothing else. Just us. And the cameras. And those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
And that creepiness is how Sunset Boulevard ends.
Who killed the person in the pool?
Well, you know what? I won't even say spoiler alert because the movie is 71 years old. Gloria Swanson shot him.
Him to death.
Yeah, because it was Gloria Swanson shot William Holden because he spurned her advances. There's another romantic subplot that she finds out about that I left out in the interest of time.
Oh, she murders William Holden.
And
Now I get it. With that. One criticism with the film, and of course it's all the films of that era.
Yeah.
Overbearing soundtrack.
Yeah.
Score.
Yeah, Franz Waxman.
Bearing.
Yeah.
Not necessary with a...
Although I will say this, there is one effective device they use soundtrack-wise is the house, you talked about the creepy house, is almost a character in the movie because it is so big and so large and such a part of the story. There's a pipe organ. And when the wind blows, they set this up early on, when the wind blows, the pipe organ makes eerie sounds. Mm-hmm. So they have actual eerie sounds that are lightly in the background made by the organ that are actually built into.
We have a
like,
clip. I have that pipe organ. Yeah, let me play a clip of it. I'm sorry.
Miss Swanson.
Miss Swanson, what a great sound. What do you have to say to that, William Holden?
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
We brought that in under 10.
I look and like it always is. I always give you a hard time about it. Then I get a little sucked in. Mm-hmm. Your brother doesn't. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
He was especially helpful today, though.
Right. I understand.
Feel like you were watching a TV and you had the primary audio and the secondary audio on at the same time? That's kind of how that felt.
Yeah. And now I routinely watch everything I watch, which is disturbing me a little bit, with subtitles.
Julia
does
that.
Which is really starting to freak me. Yeah, I mean, I why? Because
why do you do it?
Because modern Hollywood is the land of mumbles.
Is the land of mumbles.
The younger the actor, the more they mumble. That's the way it goes.
I actually disagree. Because Rob is right. The technology that we currently have, even if you have a sound bar, If you don't
soundbar,
if you don't tune your soundbar correctly, you're going to get a lot of imperceptible speech. When I was in Los Angeles, they have the whole setup, and the kids watch TV with the subtitles on, because the televisions that are now built, unless you have one of those $5,000 Sony XBRs, whatever they're called,
right,
where the speakers are behind the screen and they're coming out at you,
sure,
the speakers are shooting down
well,
towards the wall.
Mine do. Mine do.
Same. All do. I have the speakers
shooting down, yeah. And it is nuts.
When we were younger, think about the TVs we had. Even the
speaker
square
was up front.
Sometimes a panel, a whole side of the TVs were set.
And you would go over to change it, and you'd change the channel, and your father would say, "Not so fast, you'll strip it."
Yeah.
This house came with a phenomenal sound system. However, I have on my little remote for it the program, mm-hmm. So I can do drama. Sports,
cinema.
But they're four or five, and then
porn.
You have porn, concert hall.
A lot of low end.
You know? Oh, by the way, I got in trouble yesterday because I flipped on Monsters Ball,
mm-hmm.
And it's where Billy Bob is taking a trip. Let me see how do I phrase this? Well, it's after their first initial, which that's loud, and I understand that.
Yeah.
It's when Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry. Billy is introducing Halle to the ways of cunning magic.
I understand. Mm.
And she's reacting very loudly to this.
Isn't it funny how a really well-recognized piece of art, something that was embraced by critics and public alone,
right.
That when you can turn on to one moment and it ruins it for you, for have you ever
make
had
me
it?
Feel good.
What was it?
Maybe you could you chop up the that scene and just the Halle Berry parts? Where she says, "Make me feel."
This you could for probably the show put or just for your own personal
what?
Use.
Oh, yeah. What?
for the show. I'd love one or two of those. I think it would be fun.
What happened?
I got yelled at because I believe the comment from Carlo was, "We have a child in the house."
Was it and like full surround sound in your?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm deaf.
Yeah.
And I have it. It's blaring out. So you
did you have
like,
subtitles that said "Make me
what?
Feel
I mean,
good"?
Yeah. It wasn't that scene. It was after that. There are two pretty heavy duty sex scenes with Halle Berry, which is a very weird movie, very dark.
Well, it's weird again. Movie. Like the time. What was that series that was so hot about
why?
6 months ago?
Why
about
are
them?
You looking over your shoulder?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. There was
all right.
The movie that was a TV, a
lot of activity,
streaming series about 6 months ago, where the guy actually defecated in the suitcase at the hotel. What was that show called?
White Lotus. And, White Lotus.
And
yeah,
that was the one scene. Carrie had been streaming it all day. I came into the room on that one scene, and
that's
I said,
"So nasty!
What are you watching?"
That is so nasty. That 20 years ago, that never would have been allowed in a movie at all, and now you see it on a regular show.
They did it in Sunset
streaming Bo- show.
They
rather.
Did it on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
Oh, Ms.
Gloria
Swanson.
Oh my God.
But
no
luggage,
more odor than a hot biscuit.
Mike, the luggage was beautiful. It was a steamer trunk.
It was fantastic.
It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show on the heaviest travel day of the year, so they say. So, if we are all traveling, I guess we can say the holidays have officially arrived. And you better get ready because they're going to sneak up on you like they always do. If you have a Mike O'Mara Show fan in your life, even if it's just yourself, you need to visit www.tmosstore.com. What is that, you say? Well, it is the one and only place to get your official TMOS gear, t-shirts, hoodies, keychain, stickers, anything you want that has to do with the Mike O'Mara Show, that's the place to get it. And remember, every time you buy something, you help keep the laughs going. So please visit tmosstore.com. Buy a gift for somebody. Buy a gift for yourself. All the stuff is most excellent. You will love it, I promise. Now, Mike O'Mara, noted mimic, as G. Gordon Liddy used to say, I love his impressions, and this segment is a double dose. We will hear him give a lesson to Oscar about how to do impressions. He's a wonderful student. And also, one of his monologues as CBS Television's Jim Nantz preparing for the Masters.
So this is impression heavy, and you are going to love it on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. So, Mike, where are we?
Here we are. That was a very long birthday segment.
It
and
was.
I know there are certain segments of the listening public that doesn't care for that.
Well, it's a
and
public service.
I'm here to say screw off.
I thought it was a delightful one.
I still, you know, I'm a public. That was fun. Like to hear Rob do what he did,
right.
To hear do what you did. Entertainment Tommy was great.
To hear you do what you do,
I
Oscar.
Did nothing.
To hear Pony nearly do something.
I was doing my taxes.
To hear you do one of the two that you do is...
I wish I did more.
Is really
I try
terrific.
Them.
Yes.
I try them at home in the bathroom.
What did you try at home?
Oh, no, it's embarrassing.
No, try. What would be one... Maybe if you don't do it, at least tell us what you were motivated to try.
I tried Garrison Keillor.
Oh, okay.
Of all people.
Let's hear Garrison
Keillor. No, I can't. I'm not a mimic. You're...
That's Oscar St. Taylor, broadcasting off Wisconsin Avenue.
You know what? When he does that, it sounds like we should put a tap on the phone line.
It has to be a little bit audible.
Yeah.
You have to hear a little bit of it. You know, I do it all the time. And sometimes it drives Carla nuts. I've been doing one the last couple of weeks. You know the one that I'm obsessed with.
Francis Underwood.
No, McGonaghy.
Oh, that yeah. one too, yeah.
All right. Yeah, sorry. And I do the True Detective, Matthew McConaughey, and he's almost inaudible.
Okay.
So what you're saying? She said they found a lady out in the woods, antlers on her head. All right.
Now, Mike,
lady out in the woods.
It's been years.
I'm going to drink this whiskey. I'm going to drink Jameson's whiskey. That's what he drinks.
Does it really?
Yes. Hello, Rob.
It's been years since Mike has done the
how's
impression.
Carrie?
She's good.
All right.
She's
Shannon?
A big fan.
She's great.
Hey, Mike, how's Carla?
How's yes. who?
Carla.
Carla.
How are you? All right.
It has been so long, Mike, since you've done the impression.
I keep getting older. The girls stay the same age.
Do you think you could put together a crash course for Oscar to at least
Please.
Get him started on
some
voices? I mean, start something easy like Ed Sullivan or Jimmy Stewart.
When you are doing Garrison Keillor, he attempts to be soft-spoken,
mm-hmm.
and he has the face of a pug dog.
He does.
So his nose is smashed into his face. So the first thing I do is I crinkle my nose down, so it's like I close off the airway.
I've never noticed that. You actually move your nose when you do it.
You actually move the
nose
down.
I don't know if I can do that.
Hold it, but we're on to another voice there. Do that voice a little more.
Let's hear that one. Because he might have stumbled into Kermit the Frog.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can do that.
It's Kermit after it's after the stroke, Kermit.
I don't think it's Kermit.
I don't know what it is. You don't. Now, I'm going to tell you that I don't think you're making a legitimate
effort. I am.
Yeah, I don't think
how do you even close a nasal passage?
You know, when you do impressions, Oscar, it's always interesting.
I don't know how you would decide to do that.
You don't, but see, you're doing two things at once.
Yeah.
What you want to do, I'm speaking the way I normally speak. I just close off the nasal passages. So, for example, give me something to say, Robin. I'll repeat it by closing off my nasal passage.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
See?
Now, that's it. Now, I don't. That's not the full impression because
these
I also...
are the best biscuits.
No, you can't hold your nose.
Close both nose.
Can he do it by
and
pinching?
And then do a lower voice, do a lower register, and kind of whisper it and say, these are the best biscuits
these
I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
That's really not going to work.
I'll just stick to my spreadsheets.
How low can you make your voice go?
Well, hello there, little lady.
That's Mrs. Bear's Biscuits. We're going to bring Diana Krall up here with the ukulele playing.
Do you think with his low register you could walk him through John Wayne?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like you to talk amongst yourselves, and then I'm going to read the agenda for the Prairie Home Companion.
Okay,
oh, please.
I want to really see what...
Are there any impressions you'd love to be able to do, since you've mastered me and the Gingerbread Man?
Oh, God. I used to do Marvin the Martian.
Well, you see, that's almost that Kermit
voice. Is Marvin the
Martian
the Warner Brothers?
Yeah. Yes. You know,
they were going to go this way.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Do you think you could call back on that?
What is it? He used to say something about his planet.
Well, the UP-38 space modulator, I think, is one of his quotes.
UP?
No.
No, try it. Go with it. Run.
You know what? I hate you, Rob.
No. We're going to make this work.
This is horrible.
No, it's great.
No, it's horrible.
I've never been more entertained.
I can do... Who else could I do? I can't do anybody.
Do you do any people from your foreign land?
No, I don't do anything.
Like Don Francisco?
Don Fred Sábado Gigante!
See, that's good!
No,
live
that doesn't
work. Live from the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I stink.
The Prairie Home Companion, the news from Lake Wobegon.
I want to see some of the stuff he has. I'd like to do, because you know, the one thing about doing anything like this, when, and I've done this since I was a kid,
yeah,
and I was really hired, the first time I was hired at a major market station, was to do impressions.
Voices.
That's what I was hired for. So you always want to have better material. You always want to have new, the voice is the voice, but you always want to have more stuff.
Subject
and
matter.
Sometimes when you get bogged down with that, like you want to make it so authentic that you're delivering the exact lines, mm-hmm. that will kind of destroy the thing. And what you want to do is you want to just make it silly. And that's what I've always tried to do. It makes it, if I get too hung up with doing the lines, but at the same time, if you've really got the voice down like a James Gandolfini and you can say the whole tray, you get a line that he's used for them Sopranos, that's fun too.
Yeah.
So it's weird, but I'm always thinking about it.
My favorite for you is when you would say you're doing Garrison Keillor and you would do four sentences, absolute straight and accurate, and then the fifth sentence, that's the curveball that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, for example, I don't know the biscuits that they sell.
No,
I don't know the biscuits.
I remember the motto is heavens, they're tasty.
Heavens, they're tasty. Heavens, they're tasty. Ma Vagina's biscuits.
His
See,
writing.
That's where it's not Ma Vagina's.
His writing
biscuits.
Is fine, but to listen to him on the radio, and I've tried, it's painful because of the way Mike illustrates it with the no.
Well, because he does it so well.
With the nasal blockage, it's no good.
Yeah, it's powder milk biscuits. There they go. I don't know what they are.
Heavens, they're tasty.
Yes, they're tasty.
I'll say this. I can try, but it's funny because Shannon will catch me sometimes. She'll be like, just let Mike do them. And I said, no, I don't want to do them on the radio. I want to see how he does them. I'm fascinated by it. And then I say, look, if you're going to do handstands, just do handstands. Don't show the whole world.
Well, it's fun, though. I think everybody likes your impressions. I think you
can. No, they're horrific.
Oscar's impression is brought to you by Brother Andrew's Anal Biscuits.
It's the Michael Mara Show. The best of O'Mara.
It is said that time waits for no man. And when that man realizes that his time has come, he will check his watch to make sure that he is in the correct time zone. For with the passing of each season, summer to fall, winter to spring, a man can only wait for his time to come. Because as the sands funnel through the hourglass of history, a man can hope in some small way to make his mark on the passage of time. And in doing so, cement his place on the wall of timeliness that marks the ticking of each individual timepiece. Because as we all know, time takes time. And timepieces take on many forms. The gold watch of the plantation owner. The hourglass of the ancient Polymorphians. The battered wristwatch of the grizzled World War II dog face. The oversized wrist ornament of a sweating Kardashian. All mark time in their own special way. And be it Timex or Rolex, Seiko or Fossil, Bulova or Zeballos.
What?
With each stroke of the second hand, the universal march of time weaves its way through the fabric and seasons of a man's life. And when that bell of April tolls, when the little and big hands land in their predetermined locations to summon the great white horde, sprinkled with a select chosen few minorities and foreigners. All with timepieces synchronized. All waiting to see if their muscular frames will fit into the magic jacket of green.
Ah.
All hoping against hope that on Sunday their glands will produce the sweat that seeps into the tailor's green jacket. For it is the perspiration that signifies the time itself, the moisture of the ages, oozing and dripping, that is absorbed into the waiting clean towel of competition.
Ew.
And when the sun finally sets on the azalea-scented contest,
oh, no.
The body odor of the fairway gladiators will take charge with a wafting scent that will waft over the waiting patrons. From Butler Cabin to the Eisenhower Pine. Oh, my God, wait. The Eisenhower Pine is no longer.
No.
Yes, the Eisenhower Pine has gone. Dead, deceased, no longer. Worm food, mulch. So long, fair friend. into that big forest in the sky. From Amen Corner to the servant's entrance at the back of the grill. That wafting scent will mean only one thing. That the time has come for Hootie and Bubba and Billy and the boys to head on down to the jacket closet and find just the right garment for just the right champion. Then we will all know that it is time to wind our watches once again.
Oh.
And we wait another year to skip down Magnolia Lane, tongues a wagon, and ready to enjoy that thing that's the Masters.
Time for news on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. You need to listen to this segment if you want to stay up to date, even if the news stories are several years old. We're going to talk about Meghan Markle, Justin Bieber, Mike's favorite, Mike Tyson, and dishwashers. All useful stuff. So turn it up and focus, please. Stay in the moment and listen to the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
News.
Boo.
It's pretty. It's pretty.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are we doing football today?
Who's ball?
Like reviewing football today?
The picks came in an hour before the show started.
That's right.
And I was like, the results.
Yeah, not so great.
So will we do that tomorrow?
Yes.
Mañana with Nikki.
And then we'll also do picks tomorrow because of our travel schedule.
All right. Yeah, get Nikki on. We'll get Nikki.
Okay, we have it.
Did you tell him already that we're not going
to have him? No, I told him. I held off, so we will have him.
Crazy week.
Very much so.
Caitlyn Jenner has been cast on the upcoming 19th season of the British reality show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. That's the show where a group of celebrities live in a remote place together, kind of like Survivor.
Right.
Even though it's airing in the UK, it's worth mentioning because when pseudo-celebrities do British reality shows, they sometimes end up revealing a bunch of stuff to get attention.
Right.
Caitlyn should be able to handle the camping. She did the American version of the show back in 2003. That was back in the Bruce Jenner days. And the other cast members included Robin Leach, Melissa Rivers, and Chris Judge. I think that show failed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's the way it
did not work out.
Yeah, no, a late Robin Leach, Mike.
I think you can tell how popular it's going to be based on our response. Remember when Mike Tyson bit a chunk out of Evander Holyfield's ear?
Yes,
during,
of course.
The 90s, 97 specifically. They got over that a long time ago. They're cool now. In fact, Evander was just on Mike's podcast, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. Ooh. And he admitted that Evander Holyfield once bit an ear, too.
What?
He said, not an ear, but he bit a guy.
Oh, okay.
He said, quote, people keep asking, how are you going to forgive somebody? I say, everything that ever happened at some point in time, I did it. Mike bit me. I say, I bit somebody, too. It just wasn't on TV. I bit a guy in his shoulder. He dropped me. And I didn't know when you had a concussion. You'll bite too. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's why, Mike, I don't listen to Hot Box, and I just get the transcript.
As you know, Tyson is in the pot business now, and he and his co-host discussed making a mold of Evander's damaged ear and making edibles from it. There you go. What a lovely idea.
I was at that fight, but left before the bite happened.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was in that fight in Memphis. It was one of those HBO deals down to me. No, we saw a lot of great celebrities. We saw Samuel L. Jackson there. But there was a long, long undercard, and Carrie was ripe with child. It was the kind of thing that if, like, 3 more weeks...
Did you really leave before it happened, or did you go in at all?
No, we were there. We were at the pyramid. It was at the Memphis Pyramid.
I can't believe you left a Tyson fight.
Yeah, well, she
before Tyson fought.
Yeah, I know. It was
wow.
Not a great decision.
The bite. A lot of people have strange holiday traditions. Anna Kendrick. I like Anna Kendrick. I like her TV commercials. Her family's no exception. They like to celebrate Christmas by watching football on mute while listening to the Nutcracker. This just made me laugh. She said, we turn the sound off of football and we play the Nutcracker because every now and then it lines up perfectly. I encourage you to do this at home. I might do it. It's so much fun. A football play will align perfectly as the music crescendos. It's really great. Everyone cheers. That's
pretty
just
cool.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's a unique,
it's like watching,
funny story.
Listening to Pink Floyd and watching The Wizard of Oz, but different.
Yeah, you're supposed to line up
yeah,
a few times.
Exactly, right yeah.
When you load a dishwasher, should you put in the silverware so it's pointing up or down?
I have a strong opinion about this.
Or does it even matter? Someone tracked down as close to an expert on the topic as they could find. A guy named Ashley Iredale has a degree in industrial design, and he makes a living writing about appliances like dishwashers and washing machines. According to him, it does matter which way you do it, and if you want to do it right, the silverware should be pointing down.
No.
Oh, my God.
Wrong.
So the handles are on the top. Here's why. First, it's a little safer, especially with knives, because it's easier to cut yourself if you put them blade up. Plus, it's just more hygienic. If they're facing down, you'll only touch the handles, so the part of a spoon or fork that goes in your mouth won't get germs or smudges on it when you take them back out.
Well, listen here, Airedale. How come you want the water?
Airedale.
Whatever.
It's not a dog. Woof.
Well, you don't want the water to drip from the handle down to the eating surface. You want it to dry away from the eating surface.
Yeah, but
I might be inclined to agree with Rob.
I was thinking
Also, you know what? It is safer. Be careful. Just don't go in there blindly swinging your hand around. You won't cut yourself.
He says if there's a difference in cleaning, it's marginal. So, Rob, I'm with Rob on that.
I just always felt like most of the, I guess, debris would be at the top of, or the sharp part or pointy part of the utensil. So you want that exposed so more jets get to
it. Yeah, drain down. Just absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. He's saying that he thinks it should be pointing down so the jets are closer to it.
In my dishwasher.
Depends on a dishwasher.
The jets are above it.
Ooh, looks fancy.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion,
I don't have a dishwasher.
It doesn't matter where the jets are.
Sure you do. I've met her.
It doesn't matter where the jets are. They'll still beat the Giants. Thank you.
They did.
Trying to get that.
Sadly.
Just trying to get my interruption.
We both lost.
Did anyone have a better Veterans Day than this guy? 70-year-old Ernest Dotson served in the U.S. Army and lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he just came forward after winning $250,000 in the North Carolina lottery.
Good for him.
He bought a Cash 5 ticket for $1 last Thursday and didn't realize he'd won until the following day. Lottery officials announced his win yesterday for Veterans Day. He won just under $277,000 and took home $196,000 after taxes.
Awesome.
He says he'll use the money to pay off his house, his car, and buy a new TV. And he can't believe he's finally debt-free.
That's wow. Great. I like
story.
That.
Very cool.
And, of course, cool. Since we can't finish with a happy story on this program, let's finish with a story from Florida, shall we?
Oh, okay. I like it. You live there.
Police in Florida are seeking information on the disappearance of an unusual piece of property, a 300-pound Bigfoot statue. Boynton Beach, my favorite town in Florida. Boynton. Boynton Beach police say the 8-foot-tall Sasquatch statue was stolen from in front of a store called Mattress Monsters in October. Bigfoot is missing, the department tweeted. Police are asking anyone with information on the missing statue to contact defective detectives.
That's Florida.
Thank you. Come on, police. Use your heads. Mattress Monsters. Figure it out. It's easy, okay? He's under the bed.
Of course.
300 pounds?
Yeah. I'm over here now, you know? Come on. He's under the bed. Hey.
I'm over here now.
You're looking for the monster in the wrong places. Check under the bed. It's a mattress store. There are plenty of British tabloids that'll tell you they saw this coming. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, they announced yesterday that they're going to step back as senior members of the royal family. Don't ask me why this annoys me, but it does.
Me too. Some reason. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
It's her. It's all her.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're quitting or renouncing their fancy titles as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Mm.
They just decided to, quote, carve out a progressive new role within this institution. Part of that carving includes becoming financially independent. They're also going to split their time between the UK and North America. Harry has a series on mental health in the works for Apple TV. They also want to be free to interact with the media in any way they see fit. The family currently participates in something called the Royal Rota system. It's basically a pool of British press that gets exclusive access to official engagements of the royal family. Harry and Meghan haven't been happy with how the British media have treated them. Harry recently complained about the way they've been trying to juice up a feud between him and his brother, Prince William. And Meghan said, quote, "The biggest thing that I know is that I never thought this would be easy, but I thought it would be fair. And that's the part that's really hard to reconcile."
She's trouble.
Bacon Barkle. I so agree with Rob.
Read her quote again. It's phrased like trouble.
The biggest thing that I know is that I never thought it would be easy, but I thought it would be fair, and that's the part that's really hard to reconcile.
May I add this?
Yes, go ahead.
If every little girl's and now boys'
yes
a dream growing up is to be a princess.
Right.
Why all of a sudden when she gets that dream, does she decide?
The reality shows are better in Northern America.
Because this isn't a money thing. They have money regardless.
Right.
This is financially
independent is kind of a joke.
You know what this is? This is what this is. This is what's wrong with these millennial f**ks because they don't realize how good they got it.
I agree with you. Yep. I'm there. We're all, you know, rarely are the three of us completely a unified front, but we all feel, this irritated me. Let me continue.
And when you issue a statement to the world that starts out with the biggest thing.
Right.
That's dumb.
No matter what happens, they say they still plan to, quote, honor our duty to the Queen, the Commonwealth, and our patronages. That means their charities. Sources say Harry and Meghan didn't clear any of this with the fam beforehand and threw it out there and threw them for a loop. The response from Buckingham Palace kind of backs that up. They said, quote, discussions with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are at an early stage. We understand their desire to take a different approach, but these are complicated issues that will take time to work through. All right.
This was so shocking, Mike, that at Christmas dinner,
look,
Prince Philip released.
Here it is. I watched, if you watched The Crown, which is a great series with different actors that they put into the roles this year, you get a handle on the amazing heavy burden of being in this family and their responsibilities. But they also, the trappings that go along with it are pretty spectacular. But at the same time, you've got this lady that got people through World War II and has been there for her country. And look, I don't care. I'm an Irishman. I'm from Irish descendants. I do not like the British tyrants of history.
Yeah, you want
but as far as this Meghan Markle, the
Meghan
millennial,
Barkle.
Who Oscar was Meghan Barkle, it's just, you're in there for 5 minutes. And you're bitching about it when you've got the Grand Dam, who's 150 years old, who's sitting up there suffering in silence for her entire life. You think she's doing it because she digs it?
No.
You're barking up the wrong tree. So there's part of me that says it's great for the country of England that they've had this royalty and it's a consistent tradition they've had. You know, screw your personal happiness. You can find go to Saint-Tropez and hide out there. It just irritates me a little bit.
If you're that against this whole process, why not pay back the kingdom for the wedding? Buckingham Palace.
Precisely.
And what happened?
There's no good that's going to come of this.
What happened to the Harry of a few years ago when he was in Vegas with hookers? That's the Harry I like.
But you have a history.
He's not going to get a marker now.
No. Get a marker.
You had Queen Elizabeth's uncle abdicate the throne for the woman he loves. That's not unusual.
That big dummy. I saw that on The Crown.
Right? But here's the thing. But what you do is, and I believe this, there had a, I think her name was Tina Brown, who was a royal writer writes about the royal family. She gets where they're coming from, but also says, you don't do it halfway. If you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
And if you're in, you're in.
You can't be in sales and programming.
Exactly.
Either talent or you're in sales.
I love doing this show. God, I'm glad to be back. Justin Bieber has been working on his mental health lately. Excuse me. I don't know why I hit the frog.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Yeah,
thank you.
Yummy, yummy.
I don't know why.
Yummy, yummy. Great lyrics.
That is a long frog. Okay. Justin Bieber, in an Instagram post yesterday, he put it all out there. He said, while a lot of people kept saying Justin Bieber looks like poop on meth, etc., they failed to realize I've been recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Not only that, but I had a serious case of chronic mono, which affected my skin, brain function, energy, and overall health. These things will be explained further in a docu-series I'm putting it on YouTube shortly.
I have one question about the Lyme disease. Is the tick okay?
He's strung out somewhere.
Yeah, he is. You can learn all that I've been battling and overcoming. It's been... Look, when they say that, they're not. I spent enough on
one PR person says, hey, let's go out on a limb with Lyme disease,
right?
Yeah,
and dye your hair pink. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
It's been a rough couple of years, aren't we cruel? But getting the right treatment that will help treat this so far incurable disease and I will be back and better than ever. So that's
You mean better than ever?
Better than ever.
How could that be?
Better Bieber.
Better Bieber.
2020.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was on a private yacht, and the crew picked up a guy that almost drowned.
That's good.
That's on there, too.
Thanks, Leo.
Let's see. Technology is getting us closer and closer to the point where we'll be able to have conversations with our dogs. This is the very first step. A Japanese company called Languilis just created a harness for dogs with a sensor that changes color based on how the dog is feeling.
Because dogs are so hard to read?
Relaxed, excited, happy, interested, or stressed. Those are the categories.
Yeah.
And the harness connects to an app on your phone so you can track your dog's moods over time.
Hey, why don't we put the harness on Justin Bieber? Track his health.
The company says they figured out how to detect a dog's emotions by studying heart rate patterns for dogs in different situations. The harnesses should go on sale in the U.S. sometime later this year. They're already on sale in Japan for around $37. Isn't that exciting? And now a little something. Yes. There's a 28-year-old woman named Shauna Joseph from Jersey City, New Jersey. She went to the DMV on Tuesday afternoon, and apparently she got very frustrated with the long line in front of her. So she did what everybody does. She started beating up the employees.
Nice!
She also smashed $23,000 worth of computers and equipment, and she kicked the police officers who came to arrest her. The cops found a cigarette on her that was laced with PCP. Shocker!
Is that still a thing?
She was arrested for criminal mischief, drug possession, aggravated assault, and hindering apprehension. When asked for comment, a rep from the DMV said, D-36? D-36? Thank you.
BOTMOS. B-O-T-M-O-S. That means Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. And it's me, it's Rob Spiewak. Coming up, the way we end every episode, the Audio Vault. This one features game shows, Doritos, Jay Leno, and Shaq. You will dig it on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh! I'm going on my 40th Caribbean vacation of the year.
It's a mocha January. Martini. Oh!
does he rob banks?
I have no idea what he does.
Sorry. Hi, Polly. Just wanted to say hi. I hope you're enjoying your time. Let's open up the Audio Vault for today. This is our Wednesday.
Are they old vacations being recycled?
Or best of vacations. Best of vacations.
He didn't come to our Las Vegas show because he was in the Caribbean.
Kiss cruise.
Now he's in the Caribbean again.
Yeah, he was on a Kiss cruise.
Kiss cruise.
And then he did a Kiss cruise additionally.
Again.
Yeah, but he showed that he was a good guy because he let one of the members of Little Kiss out of the stateroom.
All I know is one thing. I just can't. You know what? Look, I have all the fun you want. I just can't figure it out. All right, go ahead.
Mike, do you want some hot Podcast Village news?
Sure.
Look at this. Key fobs.
Ooh,
we now have fobs to enter and exit our studio facilities.
Mm.
More secure.
Which
more
means secure. That we don't have to use the keypad anymore.
Yes.
But that's sad because a guy figured out how to play the song Bad Guy by Billie Eilish on his door lock keypad.
I love Billie Eilish. Oh.
Who says there's no great melodies anymore?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Did you watch Jeopardy Goat, the greatest of all time?
No. I wanted to, but I missed it. I found Joker, and then I ended up putting on Joker, and so I missed everything. I didn't want to watch.
You have it on your DVR though.
I think it
continues. It continues because they have to win three matches, and they're not doing dollar values. They're doing points. I'll play you the conclusion if you want to hear. But the biggest breaking news is that for this new primetime is spectacular with Jennings and the gambler and the guy that no one knows is they have new Think music.
Ooh, an update.
Yeah, it's like really upbeat, cool. Huh?
I like that. So last night was the first night?
Last night was the first night.
Are the same guys squaring off every night this week?
Yes, until they win three. I think they have to win three of the competitions for them to...
Great idea. What a
and
guy.
Then they get a million. It's 200 points was what Ken Jennings won by last night.
Ken Jennings won last night.
Yeah, and here's the deal. They're not doing dollars. They're doing points because the winner gets $1 million.
All right. That's very cool.
Here's Ken Jennings winning last night.
This man's name was given to a comet that crashed into Jupiter in...
in 1994. He's the only human whose remains lie on the moon. Ooh. Now we go to Ken Jennings, and he wrote down, who is Schumacher? Correct. That gives you a two-game total of 63,000.
Mm, a little out. Whoa.
Is that good news or bad news?
The gate guard.
Carla, the gate guard's calling.
You need a fob, Mike.
Do you remember back when Pat Sajak had the blockage? He had to buy a bottle.
Yeah.
Well, last night, this gives you an idea of how long they put the stuff in the can before they air it. Last night, they aired the episode where Vanna White hosted.
Ooh.
I bet that was good.
It was great. I think the best part about it is that it proved that she doesn't need to be over there to turn the letters. They just light up. But also, the final spin, always, you determine the value amount by the red arrow that's closest to the MC stand, right?
Correct.
All right.
We are going to move on to our next puzzle, which is food and drink. Oh, all right. Well, Rochelle, you're going to start that round, but I'm going to give the wheel a final spin. That wheel is heavy. Oh, no. My first spin. Look at that.
That's bankrupt.
Oh, whoa. No, I'm looking at the wrong arrow. How do you do this show?
Come on.
Well, she's kind of new to the set, so I understand that.
Well, come on. You imagine? Look, as a second banana, I can tell you this. I live life as a third banana. You sit there for your entire career having somebody do something else.
I can't push those buttons. How many times have I messed up the board?
It's flashing.
I know. It's flashing,
banana.
But it's
also, doesn't
hard.
He slow it down with some pedal?
Yeah, well, it's fixed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's fixed. Yeah, it's a Carney game.
Yeah.
The pedal actually goes to Matt Lauer's office.
He stops it with a pedal.
Just like in 1930s.
I'm sorry, you got the $1 million card. How, you know, you want to prove that? Go back and look at every episode of Wheel of Fortune and see how many times they land on the $1 million prize and then immediately afterwards go bankrupt. And Pat is joyous because his pedal works.
Pedal work? He's dancing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. When I saw this on YouTube, I smiled ear to ear. The only thing that bothered me is I didn't think of it. A guy took his iPhone, and you know when you're setting up your iPhone and you put in your name so Siri has to talk to you? He made up a name of 200 letters that were mostly A's and H's. And so when he talks to Siri, this is what Siri says to him.
Okay. It is.
And in Russia, Siri talks to you. Trivia question for you. 1986, they debuted Cool Ranch Doritos. Now, Cool Ranch Doritos are coming out with ranchier Doritos this week with more flavored dust on them. But, Mike, who was the original spokesman for Cool Ranch Doritos in 1986?
Oh, my God. What a great question.
Got to be somebody cool.
No.
Billy B. Oh, no?
No, and I will tell you this. Cool? It was someone who was
Billy D. Williams.
He was yet to achieve his level of fame that he would eventually get to. So he was on the uprise. It was Jay Leno. 5 years before he got the Tonight Show.
Well, howdy. Let me guess. You've been waiting for Cool Ranch flavored Doritos, and I can't say I blame you. Creamy, Cool Ranch seasonings. And those ingredients, what are we talking there? Maybe a tomato, an onion or two? See, this is what your storytellers might call a cornucopia, a nature's treasure. And that's why no other chip tastes like Cool Ranch, and no other crunch can jumpstart your horse.
Cool Ranch flavored Doritos brand tortilla chips. One heck of a crunch.
And so let's see. Tomato flavor.
80s, 90s.
I'll never understand that as long as I live.
Aughts, teens. And now the 20s, that's 5 decades of suck.
But
I know what you're thinking. Cool Ranch Doritos.
Fair tomato in there, Jay.
I'm a cool guy with my cool Ranch Doritos.
I've got the best video for you guys to watch. It's on Twitter. You can find it. Yesterday, do you know that they still, on the Kelly Ripa show, they're still doing travel trivia?
Oh, and is this the fall?
Yes.
I watched it 9 times.
It's
I watched
so
it nine.
Great.
Falling out of a bar stool height chair.
Sequest is, it's not only are they on a bar stool height thing, I think they're on sort of a platform.
I know the set, but I haven't seen the fall or heard about
it. Here's the great thing about it. This is what made it good. What makes it good is he's laughing. at his own fall. And you can hear him laughing when he's down on the floor.
Yep.
So you knew he didn't get hurt, but it's so funny to hear him laugh.
Play he was going for a balloon because they did a balloon drop for, you know, Travel Trigger
like 2020 and all these balloons, and he's reaching for one, and he goes over, and there's nothing that's stopping the fall.
Wow, that's Jasmine Gould from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, my God!
Are you okay?
I play it again at the beginning. Play it again at the beginning,
wow,
and listen to his
Jasmine
laugh when he
Gould
lands.
From Buffalo, New York.
Oh, oh my God!
Yeah. Are you okay? Are you okay? Oh my gosh! He's fine.
I got it.
Stands up with the balloon.
I guarantee you he broke something.
No, there's no way. Because men like
know.
That,
I isolated
there, there's
the,
no weight going down. If you
I isolated
that,
the audio. Listen, I think you'll see this. That sounds like he broke a bone to me. That's your magic audio vault.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.